Good morning, and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Chris, or good afternoon.
Exactly so. It's afternoon here, and good morning to you.
Thank you. I should probably mention that Chris and I are hosting today's call because the monastery is in the middle of precepts at this moment, which I've been kind of holding as an image in my mind all morning long, which is really wonderful.
It is. I'll agree with that, Bob. It's very fun to know that all of that's going on, that there's, like Sherry said, people who are near and dear to us who are there taking precepts, probably some folks who have never taken precepts before. So, very cool.
Yeah, and the empty cushion
right.
For all of us who couldn't be there. So,
yeah.
Enjoy
Love
that
it.
Image. All right, should we get going?
Let's do. Sounds great.
All righty. So our assignment from yesterday was list the major relationships in your life. Choose one. What do or what did you learn from the relationship? And here is our first caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Ladima from Indiana.
Hi, Ladima.
Hi, Chris. And I didn't catch the other person's name, but hello.
Bob.
Bob. Okay. Hello to them as well. I was actually calling to follow up on something Sherry and I talked about last week. She asked me to follow up. But before I don't have comments about this today's assignment, but I do have a question about the precepts retreat since you mentioned it. Do you know how that is advertised? Because I don't know that I've seen it on the schedule in the past.
Well, typically it is on the schedule. So, yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, I might have missed it.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, then.
And it's usually in October at this time of year, so you can keep an eye out for it.
Okay, great. I'll keep that in mind for future. I think I'll just let someone else have my time.
All right. That seems fine.
Thanks.
That was quick. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ladima.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Ladima. All right. Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Chris. It's Karen from California.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. Yeah, I'm right there with everyone, just really there in spirit with the precepts retreat. I was so hoping I would get on the call today because this is something that is just so, it feels like a place I'm working at in practice, that looking at relationship and what did I learn. And so I'll try not to tear up with this, but I don't know how good I'll do at that. But I lost my husband earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really still sort of mining the gems of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I've learned and how I'm still learning, and I think I may be learning for the rest of my life the gifts that were there. And one of the big things, the biggest things I learned is that I think I learned this the last year of his life, but it is still deepening and I'm still seeing things, is that, and I'm going to apply this to a lot of relationships, is I'm not sure how clearly we really see, or I'll speak for myself, I'm not really sure how clearly I really saw him for a good many years of our relationship. And in that last year, that's the other thing, it's all projection, but I began to see his spirit more and his just this incredible being that he was and is and all of that. So that would be the big takeaway, is that just to really, really, to really see people and get curious about them, and just on a, and even then, I don't know, because it's all projection, but that's what I've learned.
Yeah, it reminds me of that expression, you don't know what you've got till it's gone, right?
Yeah, there's that piece, but there's no regret. You know, there's zero regret, or it's more like I'm receiving a lot of it now. I don't, it's hard to put into words, but I'm receiving so much now from, because it feels like, it feels sort of like waking up to something, waking up to, waking up to life in, or something, in a way that I had never seen before, like seeing through a delusion of, oh, I, you know, I know who this person is, or I know who that person is, and when I realize is, yeah, I really don't.
Yeah, exactly so, and well stated. And I appreciate the description of, like you're talking about, the still deepening part of it. And what was dropping in for me, Karen, was how often in relationships it seems that, well, let me step back a little bit, that in some ways the way we talk about it is conditioning is a jealous lover. It really does not want us to be in an intimate relationship with another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has all kinds of ways that it looks to keep us out of that intimacy, right? So specifically, right, the conversation and conditioning mind. And so oftentimes when we're in relationship with another person, we're not actually present to who they are, the ways that they're expressing themselves, right? Well, some of that might get through, but perhaps not a lot, or it might vary from time to time. And then from what you're saying, that the information that was available then over the course of that whole relationship is still available now, and it's still available to be received. And you can really see more clearly the person that you were in relationship with and be able to receive the gift that that really was to you.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of like that. That's a really good description. The veil feels like it's dropped away, and that what's happening is that there, it feels like there's this very intimate connection with a lot of people, even you know, people I don't, that I would say in quotes, I don't know very well, but and then I think, am I projecting, you know, like, then I just, I try not to go there, but I think there's so much about projection in this. But if I was going to say it in a nutshell, I would say there's so much love there, and that, and maybe that's the filter, that there's a lot of love and gratitude, and maybe that's the filter these days that I'm looking through, and I have no problem with that. it's kind of a nice.
It works. Yeah.
It works. Yeah. It's a very, it's,
we're not going to complain.
So sweet. So,
You know what we talk about, that's really perfect. We talk about removing the barriers to love. And it sounds like that's part of what happened, right? That the barriers to love have been removed. And so, again, you can see your husband in the light of that unconditional love. And so since you're in that process, then everyone you meet is going to be seen in that same, through that same lens, and it's a great argument for, I think part of what you're hinting at is don't wait, right? To remove those barriers of love while we still have these people around, and or whatever, it's really an amazing experience and quite worth it all the way around. Whatever we have to go through to get there, that it's worthwhile.
Yes. And I see some construction workers have shown up, and you might be hearing some of that.
I hear a little bit something happening back there,
so
in the background.
It's a good time to bow out and just say thank you, and happy precepts to everyone, and And thank you for doing this today.
Yeah, you bet, Karen. Thank you, too.
Okay. Okay.
Happy construction. Yeah.
Thank you, Karen. Wow, there was so much in that conversation, and the thing that kind of just jumped out at me when you had said that, you know, conditioning is a jealous lover, you know, and it seems like a lot of what you're pointing out is like what's possible when we're kind of willing to drop that,
yeah,
get here, and then to have whatever experience is available there rather than that one-on-one relationship with conditioning.
Exactly so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That one-on-one relationship with conditioning is so demanding. I mean, it just gathers all of the attention, and there's not much room left for other people in our lives when we're so dedicated to that one source.
And the other thing with that too is that it
seems to me that in a world of no separation, right? Non-separate reality, that how we are with others is, and I think Karen's experience bears this out, how we are with others is a great mirror for how we are with ourselves. And so once we can get out of that relationship with conditioned mind, like we always talk about, then we're available. You know, there's the relationship with ourselves that we have, and then we're available to actually be in relationship with these other humans that are wondering about the planet.
Yeah, great.
And you were going to say something, Bob, did the moment pass on that?
That was exactly what I was looking at, right?
Okay.
We launched in that, is that, you know, that essentially that once I drop that relationship with conditioning, I first get to start to have a relationship with myself, and then from there I can then move on to, you know, being in relationship with others fully.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nice.
All righty. Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. And will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Otam.
Hi, it's Oda.
Hello. So, when I was looking at this question, you know, the first thing that struck me is how beautiful, fantastic relationships I have in my life. Like, I was writing down the names, including, you know, my parents, the people I work with, Sherry, the Sangha, and I was just, shocked with gratitude, like,
yeah.
At the people that surround me, like, I cannot believe it, you know?
That one could be so lucky to have all of that in one's life.
Yeah, but
you know,
just to give you an example, my business partners appeared in my life totally randomly because we were working someplace, we were kicked out, three of us, and we decided, you know, let's start our own company. So there was just life randomly, or our ex job giver deciding, the three of us, who we were. And these people are bodhisattva, you know? It's incredible. Like, I'm learning from them every day. It's amazing how lucky I am, you know?
Yeah, you know, and with that, sort of the... because, as we always talk about, right, conditioning is always about something wrong and not enough, and tends to focus on those things. So the focus can be on all of the relationships that aren't working, or especially the current one that's not working. And yet when we do what you did, step back and look at all of the relationships in our life and really take those into account, then it's really pretty impressive as to, like you said, the ways that life is supporting us, the ways that we're loved, all of the unconditional love that surrounds us, and good for you for getting to that place of seeing them all as bodhisattvas, right? That seems to be an attitude of mind that perhaps conditioning would take exception to, right? Conditioning really doesn't want us to have us seeing these other people as bodhisattvas, people to learn from, but they're more sources of, things that I need to deal with or change or something along those lines.
And yes, with my coworkers, the ones I mentioned, I really never had any issue. But for example, I can totally see how the relationship with my parents changed, for example, in this way through practice, because I love them so immensely. And now every time I see them, I just bask in the joy of seeing them. And sometimes my mom does stuff that I really find odd or weird, and I even can see some irritation in my body. Let's not call it irritation, some reaction in my body, and I totally still bask in my love for her, you know? This is something I really learned through practice, you know?
Yeah, so if I'm with you, Asota, there's a conditioned reaction to something that your parents are doing, right? It might get labeled as they're doing something weird, right? I'm sure we can all relate. But there's a conditioned reaction to it, and essentially that's supposed to move you into a particular aspect of personality, and then that aspect of personality is in relationship with whoever is out there, right? Mm-hmm. And then that goes however it goes, and right? And we can all attest to how well that probably isn't going to work. And then from your perspective or from a practice perspective, then we can see that. We can see the conditioned reaction coming up. We can get a sense of where it has gone in the past and where it's going to go now, like the machine that it is, right? And then step back into that place of unconditional love, like you're talking about, and let that reaction go, and then just bask in that unconditional love with these people in our lives whom we do appreciate.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm like outbursting with gratitude, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
I can't come up with anything more to say about it.
Okay, perfect. All right, sounds like we have done it then. Thank you much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Azada. And I'm just going to bring on the next caller, Chris.
Okay, great.
People on here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. You please introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Brian from Detroit.
Is that Brad? I'm hearing a little bit of background.
I'm sorry. It's
sound quality.
It's Brian from Detroit. Am I coming
Brian.
To a call?
Brian.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I can hear you a little better. Yeah.
I think, this is sort of a general statement. Over the last several days, this whole thing behind relationship has been one of those areas in the workbook that I've marked off, and I went, well, we're just going to continue to revisit this because it's pretty big, because it seems that from a conditioned standpoint, all those questions are questions that have always sort of kept me running in conditioning, like what is relationship? And as I record and listen, and I kept recording and listening, the only thing I keep falling back to is the only relationship that I have some idea of is the one I have with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that a relationship with somebody else is just me being there and trying to be open and trying to be, you know, as genuine as possible and then seeing what happens. Because that's the only place I have to, like, really work from.
Exactly. That's the only experience you actually have access to is of your own self and how you are in relationship.
Yeah. So, it's been great. I mean, looking at this, and I'm in an age where I realized when I went back and I started, like, okay, these are the relationships I've had. But I've had, like, a lot of relationships, but sort of personality-ego relationships for the most part. Not really like in depth, you know, what I would consider a relationship to be, something more substantial and sustainable. Mm. So, yeah, so it's been, like, fascinating. It's just kind of like conditioned ego wants me to think that I know what a relationship is.
Exactly. That's where I was going with it, too, Brian, with the way you started this off, that as soon as you get asked that question, so what is a relationship, then there's like, well, I don't really have any idea what that is. And you can see that you've been operating under a bunch of assumptions of what that might be, right? Conditioned assumptions about it. What I've learned about relationships from authority figures in my past. And now you can go back through from that perspective of practice and being with your own experience about it, right? To see, well, what is really so for me? And all kinds of things get revealed. Like you said, I can see now that some of these relationships were really, there was a person out there, but they really were ego relationships, right? And very kind of shocking and humbling at the same time, right?
Yeah, well put. Yeah, well said. Humbling and over the last couple of days, I'm thinking, well, I feel, there's this thing inside me, like a physical feeling of calmness and more honesty now.
Uh-huh.
Because I realize that all my expectations and all the things that conditioning told me that I knew aren't real. And that the only thing that's real is just to be there, which, ego's screaming right now, because it's like, well, that can't be all there is. So, come on, you got to figure things out, you got to figure people, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I can just sort of be there and see what happens next,
Ego's begging for some kind of a morsel that it can get its little meat hooks into to change into a giant issue.
Yeah, exactly. There's got to be something more to everything other than what is. And and that's something I'm really starting to learn, that like, well, there isn't anything more to anything than what is. And I can hear ego screaming now. It's like, well, that's impossible. There has to be depth and, no, not really. Things just are, right?
Well, that is such a great point, because what conditioning adds to what is its interpretation of it. And so essentially that's what's supposed to be what is more, according to conditioning. And that's where it wants the attention. And what you're doing is saying, no, there isn't anything more than just this experience. I'm staying here. And then with that, the illusion of separation vanishes, and I think you described that as being kind of peaceful.
There's no concept of life. There's just, when I'm practicing and I'm here, there's nothing between me and here, so there's no conceptual, there's no idea of life. There's no idea of somebody else. There's only the reality of what's happening in front of me. And, it's great. I can hear you go screaming again. It's like, it's too simple.
It loves to do that for sure. And then from that perspective, as you investigate, well, what really is a relationship in my experience or relating to myself or however that looks, then you're in a position to, I would say, experiment with some of these relationships from that perspective. And again, just to see what is so.
Yeah, it's what I can give to it is what's going to make the relationship. I mean, relationship's kind of a weird word, but it's really what can I give to this thing right now that's happening. And then, there isn't much else. Just see what show up and see what happens next, right?
Because in that, what happens is, so we're in that place of giving to this relationship, and as we typically talk about it, so giving and receiving are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's the same, essentially the same process, that I can't actually be giving without receiving if it's genuine and authentic. And so in that, then, in relationship, then, like we always talk about, it's about giving. It's about whatever I'm putting into it is exactly what I'm getting out of it. Be the person you hope to find, right?
Practice is so much fun if you're practicing, I mean, it's, all this can be real conceptual, and you can keep it in your head. Or what I do is I turn around, and every day I go out and I go, okay, this is what I'm doing today, and just try to stay in that mode of like giving, make it an actuality instead of an intellectual thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Intellectual thing.
It's just going to let conditioning have it, basically, to noodle it. So you bet.
Yeah. As soon as I go into the idea mode, I'm lost, you know, because conditioning loves ideas and concepts and things about stuff, and which is all good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that, unless conditioning is just running it all the time, in which case there's no time to be here. There's no time for life. So I really love you guys. I love what you're doing, and I love the opportunity to have this show that's been on every day. And my appreciation is huge for the whole thing that's
great.
Happening. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brian. And we have time for one more call, but one quick thing that just came up for me as you were talking is that how great it is when we get to that place of, I don't have any idea what I know about this relationship.
Yeah.
You know, with any content, like when I'm in that place of I don't know, so much is possible from that, because I can actually start looking from that place rather than to be caught into a conditioned idea of something.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. That in the way that you stated it, it's clear that knowing something limits that possibility, right? And that not knowing anything is complete freedom. That I can do what Brian is doing. I can be out and experimenting with what a relationship really is with no holds barred, just for the sake of curiosity and like that, rather than knowing something and then having the exploration be limited or narrowed in scope by that. Yeah, so that's perfect.
Yeah. All righty. Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Kim calling from Vashon. Hello, Chris. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Kim.
Hello.
I've been listening over and over, actually, to yesterday's call because there was so much in it for me, and I'm sure for everybody, but
it's always fun when it kind of hits home like that, right? And you just know you have to listen to it more than once. It's like, yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, and over and over, and, you know, I need to record. But
yeah,
so
right.
The prompt
Well, you want to get it in your bones, basically. You know that, yeah.
Yeah, yep. The prompt was, what do you learn, because this is a present relationship. And what I got from the call yesterday is, this relationship is my best opportunity to see what ego does to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not even about the other person at all.
No, it's not,
I mean,
is it?
Yeah. It is, because it's a trigger. It's an opportunity. I think opportunity is a word that I choose as opposed to trigger.
Yeah, right, because that keeps it in the category. I think that, I don't know if this was yesterday or not, but that keeps it in the category of get to rather than have to,
mm-hmm.
right? If it's an opportunity, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, yeah, this is my best opportunity to wake up and end suffering. And, yeah. And, you know, what you've just said, Kim, is just so counter to what conditioning says a relationship is about, right? That it's
right.
about, essentially, about getting, an appropriate reflection for conditioning. So two illusions of separation get together with the agreement that they will support the illusion of separation, right? And
yeah.
And you're stepping out of that to see, well, what else is there in this, right? And to step out of it, then it's required to look to see how whatever this other person does, whenever, however, you know, what is it that brings up in me? What are the conditioned reactions? And there's some really helpful information about moving towards freedom in that.
Right. It was so relaxing, because one of the quotes from yesterday was, well, if your partner can be in conditioning, that's fine, can be totally identified, but if you're not identified, there's no problem.
Exactly. It kind of gives it away in that place, doesn't it? It's like,
well,
I can get a sense of where the problem lies in that.
Right. It's not always easy to do that, because sometimes I don't see that I am identified, and then it's, you know, conditioning meeting conditioning, as you say. But boy, it was a jolt. It was a lightning bolt for me.
Yeah, it's an eye opener, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will never be the same in relationship again.
It's true. Thank you so much.
And you know, the real advantage of that is, like we're talking about, because if really conditioning is in relationship with conditioning, then you really do want to know that so that you can have a relationship like the ones, a real relationship with one's own self, like we talked about first, and then we can decide what kind of a relationship we really want to have at that point. Before that, I'm not sure that that's possible. So, yeah.
Yeah, and even, I mean, as the last caller said, even just being in the place of I don't know what kind of relationship I ever want to have, it's kind of a minute-to-minute thing because it shifts, I think. I don't think I'm not sure that there's one. Well, I mean, there's compassion, to always be in compassion.
Yeah, exactly, because we could want to be in a relationship with someone in one moment and then perhaps not in the next.
Right.
And if we're there for it, then we'll see that and can move with life as it moves. Otherwise, we'll get mired in how a relationship should be, right, which is essentially if you take every duality that's made, you know, open, closed, conflict, no conflict, that conditioning defines a relationship as the high side of every one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
So relationship needs the ideal relationship. And so we're always going to end up on the downside of that, and it's going to be our fault. And so doing what you're doing just unwinds that whole thing.
It's amazing. Thank you so much,
amazing.
Both of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you, Kim.
Again, I'm a gog. That's the word.
We all are, indeed. So, yeah, it's a good sign.
All right. Thank you so much, Gesho.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks, Kim. And, Chris, that brings us to the end of today's show.
All right. Fabulous.
And our assignment for today is, what patterns are you aware of? Record and listen. And this would be in connection with yesterday's assignment, listing the major relationships in your life, choosing one and what was learned. So what patterns are you aware of?
Right. So in looking over all of those relationships, I think as Asoda pointed us to, could be intimate relationships or not, all kinds of relationships. And as you do that, what kind of patterns come out? So very fun.
Yeah, definitely very fun. Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Take care.
See everyone tomorrow.
All right.
Great. Go happy.